serious life issues, who better to consult than Charles Schulz, creator of Peanuts? He created some incredible characters with that Peanuts column. There's Snoopy, there's Charlie Brown, Linus, Lucy, Pigpen. Who am I forgetting? Peppermint Patty, the little red-haired girl. Missed somebody back there. That's right, I forgot about Woodstock. All right. And then there's some TV shows that popped up when I was a kid, things like Charlie Brown Christmas, It's the Great Pumpkin. All right. Well, there was a cartoon. Go ahead and project it up there. And in this cartoon, Lucy walks into the living room and barks at Linus and says, "Switch channels." He ignores her for a moment. "I said, switch channels. I want to watch my program." He calmly turns around and says, "Are you kidding? What makes you think you can just walk right in here and take over?" These five fingers, individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that's terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? And then he looks at his hand and he says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" You know, it doesn't work very well to make a fist without using all five of your fingers. It could be trouble. If you try to knock somebody out, and like you're gonna leave, you know, this finger out, and you're gonna try to knock it, you're just gonna hurt yourself. You know, try punching someone in the face with your little finger out. I mean, you could poke someone in the eye with one finger if you use that one, but to knock them out, I mean, it just doesn't work very well as a fist. It doesn't have much power if you don't have all five fingers working together. Last week, by the way, thank you all for bearing with us as we enjoyed a week away on vacation out in Maine. It was awesome. We had a great week. Last week, one of the Nation to Nation videos that the class had been watching last year, they suggested the whole church see it. We played Dr. Buddy Bell talk about the ministry of helps. And he read a couple verses from 1 Corinthians 12. I want to just touch on those again and then build on this a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he read these verses. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings." These are all really exciting, aren't they? "And then helps, governments, diversities of tongues, governments, boards, leaders, and helps." Helps meaning to render assistance. Listen, don't put yourself down because your ministry, the place you're serving, isn't miracles, healings, apostle, prophet, that sort of thing. Don't put yourself down and don't think more highly of yourself because God used you for a miracle. He's got all of those listed in there, and they're all of equal value. Amen? And you can expect supernatural things when all parts of the body are working together. And when you're functioning in a particular place of ministry in any local church, you can expect God to meet you in supernatural ways. I saw something supernatural happen a few weeks ago. I was back in my, this was probably maybe 2 or 3 months ago now, I was back in my office before service, just going over my sermon a little bit. And all of a sudden I heard one of the ushers, Kate, back there showing a new parent, a visiting parent, and their children to Sunday school classrooms. And I listened to her talk about the things that were going to happen in that room and show them in the rooms. And I'm like, something awesome is happening right now. And listen, they came back not because of my sermon. They came back because something supernatural happened when somebody functioning in a ministry of help, somebody rendered assistance and took somebody over, took the time share what was going to happen with their kids when the service got going. And so helps, renders assistance. The church is not an organization. I've heard people refer to it that way. It's an organism. It's a living, breathing organism. Jesus Christ is the head. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ, and we're the body, members thereof. He's the head of this body. And so I want to read the entire passage out of which those two verses came from and show how the Word of God uses this illustration of a body to talk about us in this room today. And I believe God just wants to strengthen this body and give more health. So, you know, we take care of our physical bodies, don't we? We look for ways to give it vitamins, to give it minerals that it needs. Listen, God wants to strengthen the body of Christ today. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this. He says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our body has many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, prophets, their teachers, then those who do miracles, those with the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues. We need all parts of a body to function, don't we? It just won't work right without them all. And which facet of our culture, which facet of our church do we want to let fall through the cracks for all of eternity? Which part? The kids? The little ones? The preschool, the nursery, the toddlers and babies? The youth, the teenagers? The young adults, the millennials? The elderly? The men, the women? Which ones do we want to let fall through the cracks? We need every part. The disabled? I love the quote that Buddy Bell referred to last week from Reverend Godby. I cannot say it like he did. Oh, the infinite value of the humble gospel helpers. The infinite value, the eternal value of gospel helpers. Why do we serve in a local church? Because God places great value on it. That's why. He places great value on it. And he doesn't, when a Christian gets to heaven, he's not going to have a higher place closer to him for people in certain offices. And then those who are faithful in helps ministry are going to be way back living in the slums of heaven somewhere. His words to those who are faithful in whatever ministry they've been given to do is well done, good and faithful servant. God places great value on it, the infinite value. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. When we minister in a role in the church, we're ministering in His name, to His name. In that, you have ministered to the saints, Paul said, and do minister. We're ministering to Him, we're ministering to the saints. There are different types of calling on a person's life. There's professional callings. Professional callings are callings that enable us to make a living for ourselves. A spiritual calling is a calling whereby we make a life for someone else. That would be a good thing to write down. A ministry calling, a spiritual calling, is how you make a life for someone else. Professional calling is a part of that. In fact, in our professional callings, we can add value to other people's lives. God wants us to look for that opportunity in every place we are. But when you see someone who's doing sound up in the sound booth, or nursery, volunteering in the nursery, or teaching Sunday school, or greeting, ushering, praying for people, somebody organizing prayer meetings, somebody leading a Bible study. When you're seeing Jesus Christ at work, because he's the head, but it's His body at work. When you see somebody packing shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, it's His body at work. You're seeing Jesus Christ at work. God doesn't think lowly of any of those things, because it's all His own Son, Jesus, at work. It's His body. The acronym that came out last week, and I've listened to that DVD numerous times now, is HELPS, Having Enough Loving People Serving. Having enough loving people serving. What is enough anyway? I'll be honest, I don't know what enough is. Sometimes people have volunteered for things where we really don't have an urgent need for volunteers. Sometimes that happens. It can happen. So then what? Then find out where help is needed. I can remember as a newly married young man, I loved the Lord, loved the Word, loved to read the Word, reading books, listening to CDs. No, I'm sorry, they didn't have CDs back then. That would have been cassette tapes. Homer remembers cassette tapes. Lots of Bible teachers I was listening to. I was getting into studying because I knew there was just a stirring to get in the Word, to prepare myself. Someday I thought I'm going to be substituting for Pastor Jarvis up there. I just knew it. Someday I'm going to be up on the platform, Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to substitute for him. He's going to want me up there. And then this guy comes up to me, a man comes up to me who headed up the nursery, and he says, hey, I need some volunteers in the nursery. Nursery? You mean like where kids wear those things on their butts? I've never even seen anybody change one of those, much less done it. We hadn't had any children yet, and the closest thing I've ever gotten to a diaper up to that point was I was two, not even two, when my little sister was born, and by the time she was out of them, I mean, I still didn't remember life, by that time. So it was not even in my memory bank anywhere about changing diapers. And she was the last one in the line of Hemphling. So I have never been around the practice of changing diapers at that point. So you want a 26 or 27-year-old guy to work in the nursery, change poopy diapers, when I know I'm being prepared to teach and preach from the pulpit. I knew it. I'm like, no, that's this. Wait a minute. You need help? Need assistance? Okay. Yeah, I needed prayer for that too. And there I was. In there with the babies. Now I've asked some volunteers here at Living Waters, a few, to come on up and just share what they do. Just name their area of ministry service. Donovan, come on up. Dina, Denise, who else we got? Nancy. Yeah, They're just going to tell you what they do?
Why?
I usher. And when I first came here to Living Waters, what really impressed me and really made me feel welcome were the ushers and the greeters. They asked my name. They welcomed me. And it wasn't just my first Sunday. It was every Sunday. And it was somebody different all the time. So I got to know them. So when it was laid on my heart to serve, it was something I really wanted to do, to just extend a hand, give a hug, a smile. It's really welcoming to people, and not just new people, but the people that come here every week. It helps you have a one-on-one and get to know them better, get to know their name. So I really like it.
Good job. I don't know if I can follow that. Good morning. I'm the SOS lady. And if you aren't familiar with what SOS is, it's sharing our surplus. And that got started because some of you had things that the Lord has given you, and you no longer needed them. So instead of throwing them out in the garbage, we basically try to rehome them. So if you have, and it's not like a Salvation Army, I mean, it's not clothes and things of that nature, but if you have, like, one time somebody had a cord of wood, and so that went on the list and went out to folks, and whoever might have needed that would call that person or that individual and was able to pick that up. So I really like doing this because, like Nancy said, it helps me to meet other people on a different level, actually, and try to rehome items that they care for a while and find a new home for them. So if you have anything like that, and you want more information about SOS, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. Thanks.
So she's a bridge builder. She's connecting needs with supply. Donovan.
I teach the youth, and my favorite part about it is there's the opportunity, there's special moments where you can give somebody attention or encouragement, or you get to speak into their life about how they feel about themselves or how they feel about being in church. It's just kind of a special being able to impact them like that. It's a good opportunity for second through sixth grade. And I just want to give a special happy birthday to Sandy Hempling.
That wasn't right.
Hi, I'm Denise Parmenter. I work back in the sound booth on projection. And I do that because I love worship. And I haven't been blessed with a voice to be able to be on the worship team. So this is my way of being able to support the worship team and to be able to help everyone enter into worship on Sundays. And I just love that I'm able to also use some of my creativity in setting up the projection and everything. So
many ways, so many different ways. These are just a few.
Yes. My name is Dina, and I work in the nursery. And when Sandy asked me to work in the nursery, I was all for it. Because as everybody knows, my boys are grown, and to be able to love and care for babies again was just a treasure. So being able to be there with them and play with them and watch them grow is really a blessing. So if anything, the nursery has saved me. So I just would like to thank all of you for letting me play with the babies.
I always think of that in my nursery time. I wonder what some moms must have thought when they came home and saw how diapers were attached to their kids' bodies when I did them.
Hello? Hello? Thank you, Tim. I'm here to thank Tim. One might not take a second glance back at the booth, but I'd like to take this time to thank Tim. Tim's quiet service each and every week enables us to hear the worship team's helpful praise, the church announcements, and the sermon loud and clear. Another often unknown yet important job that Tim fulfills is to record the sermon and load it to our website. 2.5 years ago, our family had reached a major roadblock in our religious beliefs in our then current church. As we watched our denomination change statutes to reflect the current political and societal trends, we began to look for a new church home. Many of you might have already figured out that I don't work on a whim. Nope, I research and research and research some more before moving forward. After visiting Living Waters Church in August of 2015 and interviewing Pastor Jack, I began to listen to his sermons online, not just one, many. This resource, online sermon recordings, allowed me to hear the solid biblical approach preached each week here at Living Waters Church. Not only did I listen to these, but I also encouraged my family to. I'm here to thank Tim on behalf of our congregation for the time and effort you put into the sound portion each service, each week. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you all. You did it. All of you did it. Thank you. Isn't that amazing? Just to hear just a few people's hearts on why they do what they do. And we could have had, you know, so many of you up here, and each one, or just that part of the body doing your part, that helps make this body function. There is really no area of children's ministry where there's never a need for more help working with kids than, and with fire starters beginning for young adults. There's opportunities to serve in any area. There's opportunities to reach out. Somebody just said something to my wife this week about, could you bring a Bible study out to one of the senior citizen housing areas? She's already doing, you know, involved in a couple here locally. Could you bring one out to another place? There's always places to reach out. There's always places to take Bibles. Can you play a DVD player? Can you run a DVD player and host refreshments? You could host a Bible study in your home for adults. There's a place and a role for every person. Now, in your bulletin this week is a list. It's totally not comprehensive of ministry opportunities. And I want you to take a look at it. And some of those listed in the early are ministries that we have functioning now in the church to some level. Some of them are roles that we have filled pretty well. Some are roles that we need help in. Then there's a whole section of just ideas, ministries that someone may be called to that has never been started here at Living Waters Church. Then there's ministries that we've never even thought of that aren't in this book that might be ideas in your heart, creative ways, gifts God's given you, talents God's given you. There's so many places that people could serve. Organizing special events for senior citizens, organizing special events for children. There are so many ways to serve, to offer assistance, to help. God, I want to do something for my church. God says, the infinite value of rendering your assistance to the family of God. It's something that will last forever. It's something that makes a huge difference. Without you, without each one of us, each one of you, the body just doesn't function very well. I want to give just a few points from that scripture passage we read real quickly. Number one, each of us has to accept our responsibility. That phrase in there says, that doesn't make you any less a part of the body. In other words, whatever you think, you might think little of yourself, the Bible says that doesn't make you any less a part of the body. The degree to which we accept our responsibility in helping making the church function is the degree to which the church will accomplish its purpose and reach its destiny. Eternity for others is at stake, whether it's posting sermons on a website that some family decided to start listening to and said, okay, those aren't too bad, we'll come. Teaching a child, welcoming someone at the door, whatever the role is. Second point, we all have limitations we have to accept. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear, Paul said? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? And it goes on, verse 18, to say God has put each part just where he wants it. God did not intend nor equip us to do everything ourselves. We each have a responsibility, but he didn't equip any of us to do everything ourselves. There's studies that show that about 20% of the people in a church do about 80% of the work, and the other 80% of the people are glad to watch it. Can you imagine if that got flipped around? Can you imagine if the 80% got unleashed? I'll tell you what, though. I want to commend this family here, because I look around this room and I see a lot of people involved in so many different ways. And I want to commend you for that. Sandy's doing a jigsaw puzzle at our house right now. There's a table in our living room. And these pieces, they have protrusions, the part that stick out, and then they have the indentations, the inner parts that the protrusions connect together with. And if the protrusions, let's think, if those, the parts that stick out of a puzzle piece, if those represent our strengths, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, and if the indentations reflect our weaknesses, the things we lack, the things we don't have, the undeveloped areas of our life. But you know what? Those pieces fit together. They complement each other. And we complement each other in the family of God. The neat thing about these puzzle pieces is if they're all there, if every one of them is there, when the puzzle is done, you don't look and see any one of the pieces, do you? You look at the whole picture and you say, wow, that's a pretty picture. If one of them's missing, what do you notice? The missing piece. You don't see the picture. You see the one missing. What an illustration of the church. When we have areas of ministry that aren't being taken care of, when we feel the lack, we feel it. I used to feel insecure about the areas that I lack in, and I have plenty. And people would say, did you notice this isn't happening? That must be a terrible pastor. It's not happening. Did you notice that person's not been? I didn't notice. Did you call someone? No, I didn't call him. I didn't think about it. I must be a lousy pastor. You know what? I want to be faithful to God, but I'm learning to say, Paul says, I rejoice in my weaknesses. Because I can say to you now, look, is that all the weaknesses you see? I can tell you a lot more. You see things I don't do, can't do, whatever. I can tell you a whole lot more I can't do, don't do. I'm so aware of the things I can't do, and I'm getting to a place of greater peace about that. Because I realize I'm not made to notice all those things. In fact, it struck me this week in Matthew chapter 14, the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people are fed. Who noticed the need first? Was it Jesus? No. The disciples came to Jesus. They noticed, and they said, hey, Jesus, these people are really tired, and they're really hungry. We ought to do something about this. Oh, I didn't think about that. He said, all right, you guys, go feed them. Good catch, guys. Go feed them. Us feed them. No, we're telling you about it because we want you to do something about it, Jesus. And he says, yeah, you go feed them. There's a place in the book of Acts where it says the Hellenist Christians, which are the Greek Christians, they brought a complaint to the apostles. They were complaining, those complainers. They were complaining against the apostles of Jesus Christ. And you know what they did? They said, good catch. That's a good note. Way to notice that. They're not being treated fairly in the distribution of food is what they noticed. They said, certain ones of us, they're not being given enough in the food distribution, and they said, good catch. You know what? I'll tell you what. Go pick out six or seven guys and make sure they're full of the Holy Spirit, faithful, diligent, and put them in charge of that. Have them do it. Good catch. You noticed? You deal with it. Wait a minute. We brought this to your attention because we wanted you to do it. No. Good catch. You do it. When you notice something in the culture, you think, man, we're not ministering to that need. When you notice something in the community that's not being ministered to, who brought that to your attention? Could it be? Maybe God brought that to your attention. And start with praying about it first. Hey, we'll love to hear the complaints, but I don't have all the solutions. And we'll love to give you ideas and strengths and organizational help, whatever, but we can't do it all. Third point, each member of the body of Christ is worthy of honor. We're to respect one another, no matter what place of ministry we have or service in the church. Look, in the body, in the human body, I don't see my heart beating. I don't even think about my heart beating. But try going a few minutes without your heart beating and see how it works. There's things going on. People come into church week after week. People go to our website, listen to sermons. They have no clue who's sitting up there in the sound booth recording the message, loading it on the internet. If you're listening on the internet right now, his name is Tim. Don't see it. How cool is it, though? I'll tell you what. That booth back there is where all the cool people hang out. You want to hang out where the cool people are? Get involved back there, because it's cool back there. You control the temperature in the room. You control the fans. You have a lot of control at your fingertips. More than that. These are special effects I didn't plan on today. But in a body, there's all kinds of different cells that have different functions. There's brain cells, blood cells, you know, muscle cells, all kinds of things. And each one, they're all different, but each one's just doing what they're made to do. And if they don't do what they're made to do, the body gets sick. And if we're not doing what we're made to do, the body gets sick, the spiritual body, the church body. We're a body. Christ is the head. Fourth point, the body has to be aware of each other. We have to be aware of each other. You ever stub your toe on a piece of furniture in the middle of the night? Or in the middle of the day, for that matter? How does the whole rest of your body react at that moment? Can you think of anything else? No, it hurts so bad. I got an infection in one of my lower teeth one time. That was an infection right at the base of the tooth. Ended up having to have a, what's that called, that great pleasant root canal. Oh, man. It was so relieving to have the root canal. I was over. But I'm telling you, when that throbbing pain was at the base of my front teeth, I might as well have been rendered dead, because I couldn't think of anything else. I just couldn't. It was such a throbbing, deep pain. I know, Ann, I am a whiner. Okay. She's going to accuse me of that later. But I'm telling you, I couldn't think of anything else. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And when one part of the church family hurts, we need to be aware of each other. We need to come alongside one another. We feel it together. There's a lot of one another's in the Bible. The New Testament is full of commands that include the word one another. They're not suggestions, they're commands. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to read some of the one another commands. You look a lot better with your eyes closed. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, keep your eyes closed. Listen to these words, these one another's. These words, these are not written to the leaders of the church in that city. They're written to the people in the church. These are written to individuals in the church like you and I. Love one another. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another. Listen to that. Be devoted to one another. All this one another is around you in the room here. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another. Romans 15:14, instruct one another. How dare you say that to me? No, instruct one another. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. Ephesians 4:2, bear with one another. Without opening your eyes and pointing at anyone else in the room, are there people in here that you have to bear with sometimes? Come on. Yes, Pastor Jack, you have to bear with you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. Colossians 3:16, admonish one another. It means to challenge one another once in a while. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. And lastly, Hebrews 10:24, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Spur one another. You can open your eyes. Again, those are not given to a leader. They're given to all of us. They're commands on how we're to connect with one another, how much we need one another. Like a puzzle needs every piece, we need everyone to be functioning. In the last few months, I've had several people come to me and say that they felt like God was stirring their heart to ministry in some way. And that's really exciting when people say that. In the past, in decades past, when someone would come to a leader and say, I feel God stirring my heart to ministry, it would mean, okay, you're going off to seminary and you're going to get to the training and then you're going to become a pastor, and then that whole 20-80 syndrome keeps getting reinforced. You're going to go get trained and you're going to do the ministry. But that's not what the Bible says ministry means. Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave himself, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These were people he gave to the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We can't even become a mature body unless every saint is a part of ministering and serving in some way. Who does the ministry then? It's not the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's the saints. Feeling called to ministry? Now, I don't want to discourage anybody from full-time calling, if God's got a full-time calling in your life. But I'm saying all of us. All of us are called to ministry in Christ. That's the fifth point. All members of the body are called. Every Christian. We were at Wegmans yesterday. Sandy and I were in Rochester, stopped at Wegmans briefly. We went to get a certain cut of meat, and that is usually in a certain place, and there were none there. And we asked the guy that worked in the meat department, you know, do you have this cut of meat? And he says, well, if it's not in its place, then we're out. And, you know, everything has a place. He knows exactly where everything belongs in that display case. Everything has a place. And if there's nothing there, there's nothing in the back, we're out. If there's a ton there, then either we haven't sold very many, or we made too many, prepared too many, whatever. But everything has a place. Listen, in the family of God, everybody has a place. There's a place. We don't want to say to the culture around us, sorry, we're out. Jesus isn't out. He hasn't run out. Somebody asked me this week, do I regret leaving forestry and going into Bible school and pastor? If I'd stayed there, I'd have been getting 4 or 5 weeks of paid vacation every year, and then I'd have already retired. I already had early retirement from the state of Ohio. How cool would that be? But you know what? No, I don't have any regrets. The infinite value of serving God. It is eternal serving God. Whether it was in the nursery at the Redeemer's Church, whether it was pushing our one-year-old baby in a stroller while Sandy was pregnant with the second through the slums of Columbus, late at night singing Christmas carols door to door, whether it was feeding homeless people, whether it was going on mission trips, taking people on mission trips, teaching Sunday school with fifth graders, the infinite value. There's nothing more fulfilling than just letting God use us wherever we are. Nothing more fulfilling. What's to regret? What did I miss out on? Is retirement in the Bible anywhere? Is that word in the book somewhere? I'm not discouraging anybody from stepping down from your profession in order to move into the next season. But retirement isn't in God's plan. He's always got purpose for us. There's always things to do. So our plans need to always stay submitted to Him. The last point I want to make this morning is that Jesus Christ is worthy of our lives in service. He's worthy. Whether we're in our 80s or 90s, He's worthy of our 80s and 90s. Whether we're in our 60s or 70s, He's worthy of our 60s and 70s. He's worthy of the most productive years of our life. He's worthy of our 30s, 40s, and 50s. He's worthy of our 20s. He's worthy of the best years of our life. He's worthy of our teens. He's worthy of all that we have to give. He's worthy of every breath He gave us to live. In the world, we have what we call professions. I'm not one who believes that God called us to one particular profession. This is the profession He called us to. That's it. If we miss it, we've messed up the rest of our life, and all the world is going to be screwed up because we didn't make that. I just don't believe that. It's like saying that there's just one person that you're supposed to be married to. There's just one in the whole world. Well, what if one person decides to reject the one that God wanted them to marry, and they marry someone else? Then the whole rest of us are all screwed, right? Sorry, did I say a word I shouldn't have said in church? Some of you are looking at me funny, forgive me. But we're not called to a particular profession, we're called to a particular attitude before God, a particular place of submission. I'm gonna ask you to stand and ask, Lord, if you come this morning. Casting Crowns has a song that asks some questions about the body of Christ. The lyrics go like this. If we're the body, why aren't His arms reaching? Why aren't His hands healing? Why aren't His words teaching? And if we're the body, why aren't His feet going? Why is His love not showing them there's a way? There is a way. Jesus is the way. Why aren't His arms reaching? We're his arms. We're his heartbeat. We're his hands and feet. We're his body. He's the head. He didn't call us to a particular profession. He called us to an attitude of submission where God can use us in the church, outside the church, in the fields, in the factory, in the classroom. He can use us when we can give him our body. He didn't call us to grow corn on a farm. He called us to feed people. He didn't call us to run a machine in a factory. He called us to provide a service and a product that our culture needs to move forward. He didn't call us to teach geography. He called us to teach children. Call a manager to manage people. He calls them to unlock potential in people and see them become all God made them to be. He didn't call people just to treat wounds and sicknesses. He called them to change people's lives and bring in health to them. Chapter 12, verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. With your eyes closed, I want to, if this is in your heart, just say, Father, I present my body. Let's say it together. Father, I present my body. A living sacrifice, let's say that. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God. Let's say that. Holy and acceptable to God. It's my reasonable service. It's my reasonable service. I give it to you, Lord. I give you my body. I give you my heart. Lord, we just present ourselves to you as a corporate church, as individuals. Lord, you see people around this room just presenting themselves to you. Just saying, Lord, use me. Lord, there's ways we see people being used. There's ways we haven't even thought of that you put creative gifts in people that you want to bring forth that our limited minds couldn't think of. We thank you that you're always at work to bring these things forward. We just thank you for it. If there's any way you sense that God is stirring your heart to serve in a way you haven't. Like I said, occasionally someone will say, I'd love to serve in a certain area of ministry, and it's like, there's not a place right now. Find a place you can help. Render assistance. God can open doors in other ways. And maybe you've got to look through, to take some time. Pray over this book. There's a connect card basket reading table in the guest services area. If you know there's a place like God stirred your heart, maybe through one of the testimonies this morning, somebody shared about the way they're serving, you're like, you know what, I can do that. I want to do that. Maybe you feel like it's a really stretch for me, but if I can do it, I'll do it. Just drop a note in there. And is there an insert? Okay, there's an insert in that in your bulletin. Go ahead and put your name down. God bless you. Baptism will start this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Holy and Val Webb's at home. Thank you, Holy and Val, for hosting us out there. Looking forward to baptizing 7 people today. And if there's anyone else that you've not been baptized in water since you believed and trusted your life to Jesus Christ, it's not too late to say, I want to jump in as well. And we'd be glad to baptize you today. God bless you. Have a great Sunday, rest of this day. Beautiful day. Amen.